Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, architecture and engineering for the new frontier. Welcome to KUAC's Alaska Live. I'm your host, Lori Neufeld. It is my pleasure to have Juno singer-songwriter Cray Van Kirk here at the KUAC studios. Thanks for joining me, Cray.
Well, thank you for having me come up. It's been a long time since I've been in Fairbanks. I think the last time I was here was at the house concert that you were at. That was like 5 years ago or something like that?
It was at least 5 years ago, I
yeah,
think.
I've forgotten what real cold is like.
Yeah. Was that in winter also?
That was in January
here?
Also.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's only around zero or so here right now. So
it's a heat wave.
You've timed it well. Well, welcome back to Fairbanks.
Thank
it's
you.
Great that you could come play at the KUAC studios in Alaska Live. What's the first song you'll be sharing?
I'm going to open up with a tune. I've just released the first CD that I've made in over 20 years, which is a very long story that I won't go into. But the first tune on the album is called I Am a Knight, so we'll open up with that one.
Night was riding lonely, the road was winding long. The sun had barely risen, frost was shining in the dawn. His sword was sharp, his lance was keen, and his armor burnished bright. And as he rode, he sang with all his might. He sang, hey, 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 I am a knight, I am a knight, oh, I am a knight, said he. Of all the kingdoms of the world, no finer thing to be. And he'd held the vigil rightly, he'd watched his arms by night. And in the morning came the king, and he made him there a knight. Sent forth a mighty hero to defend the castle walls, and all who walk within its mighty halls. For I am a knight. Blood red was the sunrise, and blood red was the field. The knight lay fierce about him, and he brought the foe to yield. And those who fought, he cut them down, and he left them where they lay. Then he took the road to fight another day. Oh, hey, 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 I am a knight. I am a knight, he tried to find the song, but silence overtook him as he sadly rode along. And under midday shadows, the knight began to yield. Perhaps my spurs are better served than fighting in the field. No castle wall to build or guard, no blood to stain the soul, but blankets for the winter and food in every bowl. For I am a knight. The farmer had no harvest plow, the knight gave him his sword. His lance became a bargeman's pole to help him cross the ford. His armor turned to cups and bowls, his shield a chalice bright, his helm a lantern shining in the night. Oh, hey, 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 hey. Riding lonely, the road was winding long. The sun was slowly sinking, with darkness coming on. No sword or lance to take the field in rags against the cold. But as he rode, he sang out brave and bold. Oh, hey, 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 I am a knight, I am a knight, oh, I am a knight, said he. Of all the kingdoms of the world, no finer thing to be. And the night was riding lonely, the road was winding long. The sun had barely risen, frost was shining in the dawn. Her sword was sharp, her lance was keen, and her armor burnished bright. And as she rode, she sang with all her might. She sang, hey, 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 hey. I am a knight, I am a knight, oh, I am a knight, said she. Of all the kingdoms of the world, no finer thing to be. I am a knight, I am a knight, oh, I am a knight, said she. Of all the kingdoms of the world, no finer thing to be.
Craig Van Kirk joins me here for Alaska Live on KUAC, and that's the lead track.
That's the opening track of the CD, The Road to Elfland.
The Road to Elfland. And that song, it's a really nice intro to the stories of The Road to Elfland. And tell me a little bit about what happens with, he says, I am a knight, and then she says, I am a knight.
So, well, it's not just the boys that get to play with the sharp toys and the armor. It's everybody.
And well, that's so modern of you, Cray.
Well, I don't know. Joan of Arc was she was doing that. It comes out of this idea that we have these enormously powerful myths that we've carried in our Jungian archetypes for thousands of years. And I'd love to talk with like a historical linguist or a mythological evolutionary biologist, because on some level these myths are hardwired into how our brain has evolved. And we have these wonderful, powerful myths that move us to tears. And when we get up in the morning and decide what we want to do with our lives, we do it based on myth, even if we don't know it. We do it based on our self-image, what we want to be or what we want the world to be. But some of these myths, even though they're incredibly powerful, need to be reborn. And we all tear up when, you know, Frodo throws the ring into the fire, or when Aragorn says, but it is not this day. But we've had enough of saying that's the enemy and this is us and we're going to kill them because they're different, or we're going to keep them apart. There's this us and them. Martin Buber wrote a book almost 100 years ago called I and Thou, about the separation between the self and the other. And we can't afford to do that anymore. So in this song, the knight goes off to be a hero and have his sword and be a defender of truth and beauty in the whole nine yards. And he says, well, this sucks. And he finds that ultimately maybe the places where those things are applied are far fewer than we might be tempted to do.
Turns into cups and bowls to feed others.
We need to paint enduring diplomacy and the day-to-day caring of the planet with the same trumpets and thunder when Mel Gibson charges over the hill and screams freedom or whatever he does. I don't remember. but that's the thing. We thrill to those things, but they need to be reborn. We don't need to get rid of myth. We need to allow it to be its own phoenix and turn into something else. And I don't know, my mother ran a homeless shelter for 20 years, so that's probably where part of that comes from.
That is a different message than strength through the sword, I guess.
I think so, and it doesn't mean necessarily that there are not times, and I even hesitate to say this because we're such a sword-happy culture. There are times when it is appropriate, I think, still to draw the sword, but not nearly as many as we've started to scream about.
Yeah, sitting down with a bowl of soup or a cup of tea,
yep,
with someone is completely different than declaring war on your neighbors or, you know.
Yeah, and in the film Lawrence of Arabia, there's this scene which got turned into comic relief when after the war is over, Lawrence sits down with all the various tribes and factions and they start to try to iron out a constitution. And it's funny because Lawrence is there trying to solve all the problems and everybody's being silly and leaving the room and leaving him to just write furiously by himself. But that's the thing that we need to drape with these glorious colors, not the charge into the valley of the shadow of death.
Well, a great lead track, and what a way to start off Alaska Live. Cray Van Kirk is my guest, and I know you've got other songs from this newest CD,
yeah,
The Road to Elfland, and so I'd love to hear another one.
Okay. We'll let me put these picks on. And,
yeah, you do finger picking with the metal picks and plastic picks and
yeah, sometimes with my thumb and fingernail if they will survive. I still have not figured out the knack of, you know, if I play more than three shows in a row, the fingernails are gone.
Have you heard of the classical guitarist Jason Vio? He super glues a ping pong ball that he's fashioned into a nice nail to pick.
Some folks do that. Some people just lacquer the heck out of their fingernails.
Yeah.
You got to be careful if you get that lacquer on the cuticle. Leo Kottke got this really terrible infection under this wonderful thing to talk about over the air. There are all sorts of things that people have been trying to do as soon as we began to play steel strings instead of a nylon classical guitar. It just eats your fingernails.
Mm-hmm.
A train out of La Mancha, and it carried him down to the sea. Give me a one-way ticket to where you think I'd rather be. And I don't know where the sun rises now, and I don't know where she will be. He caught a train from a Spanish sunrise, headed into an Irish sea. And out upon a tossing ocean, he was sick with the movement of the waves. In the desk he found a faded journal, and he settled down to reading every page. And the sun had gone down, and his lamps had all burned low, when the last entry finally set him free. He caught a train from a Spanish sunrise, headed into an Irish sea. There came the sound of summer running, as he stood beside the railing in the dawn, and a half-remembered memory inside him, it awakened from a slumber decades long, and casting aside the mirrored face he wore, against his tail a gentle mutiny, he caught a train from a Spanish sunrise, and headed into an Irish sea. Time flies like an arrow, straight toward the setting sun with nothing left behind. A season fine for Prometheus set free, and a medicine for melancholy found upon the sea. He caught a train out of La Mancha, and it carried him down to the sea. Oh, now give me a one-way ticket to where you think I'd rather be. And I don't know where the sun rises now, and I don't know where she will be. He caught a train from a Spanish sunrise, headed into an Irish sea.
That style of finger picking too. It just adds so much more depth to the song. And, you know, if you're a singer-songwriter and you're traveling around with a guitar too, to change it up a little bit. And
just a bit. That's one of the things about some of the songs on the album. We actually had other players come in and play with me.
Right.
In the miracle of the modern digital age, none of them were in the studio with me. I recorded everything at home in my little home studio, sent it down to the gentleman in Vancouver, and he called in some of the other players. So some of the tracks are just me and the guitar. There are some songs we said, no, that needs to be just me and the guitar. And a couple of them we have maybe a violin or an Irish whistle playing. And then on two songs we kind of went all out and we had the mandolin and the everything that they all brought in. So it was a fun mix.
And you said that you have a recording studio at your home, so it
we'll
makes
put the word
it,
studio in quotation marks.
we all know what modern studios can be these days. You mean your den? They can be in a closet, even.
Well, no,
a
I have
large
a room
closet.
Downstairs, and I've got all the sound stripping on the walls. But recording in Alaska in a house that is not soundproof is an experience because in the winter, you can't record because it's raining all the time or the wind is blowing so loudly.
Well, you're in Juneau,
I'm
so
in Juneau. That's
it's
true.
Raining all the time. I get that.
But in the summer, it gets light at 2 o'clock, so the Stellar's Jays start screaming at 2 in the morning, and they don't stop until like 10 o'clock at night. And then at 10 o'clock at night, all the puppy dogs come home from being out, and they bark all night. So I have been sitting in that studio literally just waiting with my finger on the button for the birds to stop and the dogs to be quiet and the kids to stop playing outside. Oh, quick, I can get a take in here. It has been quite the frustrating experience.
You need to build a room inside a room.
If I had the money, I had thought about that. Yes, absolutely. Yes. That would be the nice way to go.
And like you said, you live in Juneau. That's mm-hmm. that's where you call home. And you've lived there for quite some time now, right?
I've lived there for a little over, let's see. I'm going to say probably about 14 years. Mm-hmm. Before that, I was in Sitka for about 10 years. That's where my daughter was born. And we came over to Juneau around 2002, 2001, I think. I can't remember exactly when.
So you've been based out of the southeast for mm-hmm. quite a while. And so yep. that's why rain and this idea of Ireland and England. And that's, those are rainy and very green places like Juneau. And
yeah. Billy Connolly had this great thing about that Scotland was founded by a bunch of Irish guys. He says, come on, lads, I know a place that's even more wet and grainy.
Right. You actually toured Scotland, right, and Ireland?
I did. We had we went over in 2010, and we had shows in Ireland and Scotland and down in London and a couple other places, and it was a wonderful time. It was fantastic. I took my daughter with me. She was 15 when we went over. I couldn't imagine going, overseas mm-hmm. without her. She had a great time. She was really good about the touring end of it, where you finish a show, you jump on the train and go to the next place and get to sleep.
A sleeper train, yeah.
Well, not always a sleeper train. Sometimes just, in the corner. She was great, and I promised her that once we'd done all the shows, we would take a couple days in London and be posh and fancy and go do things.
What a great experience for a teenager to be able to do that. I mean,
well, I think she had fun. She was a little bit texting, sure. on the phone the whole time. But, she's a great traveler. As soon as we get on the plane to go anywhere, she is, like, in this different space. And if we miss something, it's like, no, Dad, chill. It's fine. We'll get the next one. And I'm throwing a fit in the corner. And she's like, no.
It's a wonderful gift to give kids, give them the gift of traveling, and especially traveling abroad, too.
She definitely said at that point, she says, I think I want to move to Edinburgh because all the boys are really cute.
Did you write some of these songs that are on the Road to Elfland there while you were in Scotland and Ireland and England?
No, I think we were on the road at that point kind of doing the grind. I didn't come up with a lot of new material. Some of the songs on here, actually, interestingly, are very old. They're some of the oldest tunes that I have, which either means that they were good tunes to begin with or there's been no improvement in 25 years. But The Captain and the Lady was one that I had originally written. It was on my very, very first tape.
Oh, right.
Tape.
Cassette tape.
Cassette tape, mm-hmm. yes. And I had kind of just let it go by the wayside. And then when I started to play, I had this period where I didn't play very much when Olivia was really, really young. And then people started to say, well, what happened to The Captain and the Lady? And I said, well, I don't know if it really works. And they're like, No, absolutely. So they, you know, so I redid The Captain and the Lady, and then other things, The Machineries of Joy and I Am a Knight are brand new. So the CD really spans a long span of years, and the real test now will be the next CD, whether it's worth anything or not. Because if this one spans 20 years, I better work really hard to make.
I was going
to
say, if you
wait
another 20 years for
no,
a CD, it might not be CDs that you're putting out.
It's going to be something else. Who knows what it'll be.
Well, congratulations on this newest release. Like you said, it did take 20 years to put this one together, but you've been putting out music since then.
It's not that
it's been 20 years without you releasing music.
I've been giving it away for free on the website, and I still do that. And people can go to the website, just, you know, cravankirk.com. It's really creative.
Those are with K's.
With K's,
no
yes,
C's,
with K's,
K's,
no C's. And they can download all of this music for free. There's a little donate button, but it's not required. And I was doing that because I didn't want to make more stuff. We've got more stuff. The last thing we need is more stuff headed for the landfill. And it was also a bit of a tossing a monkey wrench in the works. We're getting more and more into this mindset where I'm sure that someday we're going to walk into a store and they're going to say, okay, you owe us $5 for every minute that you're breathing our air. There's this monetization of everything, which I think is a mistake. And, I mean, obviously, if you want to make a living playing music, you have to be able to walk that fine line. But I don't like this whole bit of that money has to be attached to everything.
It's interesting. David Bowie, you know, who we just lost
recently, yes.
He was he got on the bandwagon
early.
Of internet and music
early,
and he knew, he said, this is going to change the face of
yep.
who we are.
Absolutely.
Not just music, but this is going to change the face of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And seems like you jumped on that. Maybe not as early as David Bowie, but hey, he's a very early adopter of it. But you jumped on this early in seeing that, you know, you don't have to make more stuff. You don't always have to have a CD to sell. You can push people to your website and say, you can find my music there and you can download it. You can share it for free. Don't sell it.
Because before we had electricity, if you wanted to hear music, unless you were part of the Royal Theatre and could go listen to Herr Mozart, what you did is you got together in somebody's room and you had instruments and the dogs were on the floor and the babies rolled around and cried and you had this human community. And I am being optimistic in saying that it is possible to make a living as a musician participating in that human community mm-hmm. without being excessively restrictive, creating an artificial, what is it called? It's called artificial, I know lots of words, but apparently not this one.
That's okay.
Whatever. artificially restricting the supply of your music because I can press a button and send everybody on the planet an MP3 of the entire album. And I haven't lost anything because I still have that an MP3 sitting on my computer. It's this digital
right.
reconstruction that doesn't, it's not a physical book I'm giving away. Okay. On the other hand, finding that line between, all right, I just gave everybody everything. Now, how do I get the money to go tour and play these songs? It's a tough crucible to figure out.
I know. Well, we're on public radio right now.
We are
you
on
know,
public radio.
It's we ask people certain times of the year to donate their hard-earned cash,
yep.
and you know, and we don't require it of people. Just like you are saying, you can donate. But you don't have to because it's here. But to keep it going, it's very
that
similar.
Line, but yes.
It's
yes.
very similar, yeah.
Which is one of the reasons that I still have a day job, partly because I'm a single dad. When I ended up being a single dad, I wasn't going to take a two-year-old and toss her in the van and say, come on, honey, we're going to go play music. I was not going to do that. But, you know. But, yeah, public radio is the same way. It's this community yeah. thing that the community wants to support.
And when we're in people's living rooms right now, we're in people's cars right now.
We are, and just as an off thing, I have 5 CDs with me.
Yeah.
Can people call in?
That's not going to work out, but they can meet you at the airport.
Well, I was going to say, anybody who buys a CD tonight, I'll give half the proceeds to KUAC.
They should meet you at the airport.
Security is going to go, what the hell is going on?
No. This is such a small community that you are flying out tonight, right? Everybody flies out on that red eye.
You'll on be that 1 a.m. flight?
You'll be seeing plenty of people that have listened to the show, and they'll take you up on the offer on the 1 a.m. flight tonight.
Well, okay, anybody that buys a CD tonight, it's actually a combined CD-DVD.
Yeah.
There's a DVD in it that has the new music video we shot and a 20-minute behind-the-scenes, making of stuff. We'll add it all up, and I will split the proceeds with KUAC, and I'll send it to you.
There really are a lot of people. That plane is going to be full. It always is.
And that's surprising. I didn't even know there was a 1 a.m. flight out of Fairbanks. What the hell is this?
You got to catch up to the rest of the world when you fly out.
I am so far behind.
That's what happens. That's what we do. Well, let's hear another song. Is it going to be from your latest release?
Yeah, let's do another one out of that one. This is – oh, I know what let's do. We're going to do my absolute, absolute favorite of all the songs I have ever written. And I'm going to shoot another music video soon. I would like – because a lot of my songs are stories, I'd like to have a nice little library of music videos that – video and film is such a visceral way of eliciting an emotional reaction. And when you combine it with music, you can have this wonderful little 3 or 4 minute epiphany that you can send out to people. And so this is my absolute favorite of all the songs I've written, and I'd love to film a music video to it. It should actually be in Paris. So since I don't really have the money to go to Paris right now, we'll see if it comes out.
Alone on the dance floor at midnight, waiting for you to appear. A red velvet dress and black satin lace dusted my memories dear. But you're waiting alone on a floor like my own for a man with a face that's not mine. I'll dance alone with a ghost I once knew, once upon a time. This is my lost lover's waltz, dancing like lovers do. This is my lost lover's lost waltz that I never danced with you. The water where the minstrels all play and the painters they wait for the light. The dancers they sit with their feet in their hands and they quietly rest from the night. And the playwrights they sit with their quills in their hands and they drink their black coffee like wine. But no words they write can turn back the pages when you were the measure of time. This is my lost lover's waltz, dancing like lovers do. This is my lost lover's lost waltz that I never danced with you. They say Paris is magic. They say Paris is the city of love. And I love all my memories of Baudelaire nights and mornings with you dressed in sunlight. At midnight, candles beginning to fade. The mirrors are empty, they won't show my face. Shadows and silent parade. And locking the doors as I make my way home through the empty streets crowded too soon. Following footsteps that lead ever onward, stepping in time with the moon. This is my lost lover's waltz, dancing like lovers do. This is my lost lover's lost waltz that I never danced with you.
Well, that's just gorgeous. Craig Van Kirk is my guest here for Alaska Live. I'm your host. I'm Lori Neufeld for KUAC. And came all the way up to Fairbanks from Juneau to play Alaska Live. And then you fly out tonight. You just flew in today.
Right? I just landed a few hours ago, yeah.
Well, that is the life of a touring musician, to come play a gig and then fly back out. And where to next?
Calgary, Alberta. I have a couple gigs there. Oh. We're going to actually do a photo shoot tomorrow afternoon with a really good photographer there in Calgary. He and I have been going about what we want to shoot, and we're going to shoot right at sunset. We were going to try to do it Saturday with the full moon rising, but I have a show. Mm-hmm. It's not probably good to try to press that. But I'm really looking forward to these shows. One of them I've had booked for well over a year. There's a young lady who's going to be opening for me, who's just incredibly, incredibly talented. The host emailed me and said, "Oh, I've got Natalie to open for you." And I listened to her stuff. I was like, "Wow, she's wonderful." So it'll be fun to meet her. She's on tour with a new album of hers. So it should be a really fun. If I survive with no sleep, it'll be a lot of fun.
Sleep on the plane, right?
Sleep on the plane, hopefully.
Yeah. That's what, they turn the lights out. Very nice.
I feel bad for the flight attendants who have to fly this thing every night.
I know, because they do. It's every night that flight goes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. And so the Anchorage Folk Festival is going on, you're flying right past that.
Yes, the original plan was to fly back to Anchorage tomorrow and play the first evening of the Anchorage Folk Fest, but the scheduling didn't work out until the last minute, and then I'd already made the plane reservations, and so I'll have to make it this year.
As far as playing festivals, I know you do that a lot, and you play house concerts. We saw you
I
at
love
a house
concerts,
concert
yes.
here in Fairbanks, and you play some nice size venues too, as the opening or the main act. What's your favorite to do?
Ooh, I really have a soft spot for house concerts, because they really are this throwback to what we used to do before we had electricity. And some people are a little uncomfortable with them, either players or audiences. Some players think, well, that's not professional. I don't want to do that. And that's okay. Some audience members think the same thing. They think, well, this can't be very good because we're not in a club with a stage. And there is something to the fact that when you – Joseph Campbell had this big thing about how movies are the modern church, because you go into this sacred space. It's a different space. The lights go down. There's this different ritual. And concerts can be like that. You enter into this different space where you are open to have whatever emotional experience the performer is able or willing to give you. You know, if you go see Lorena McKennitt, beautiful theater, curtains come back, has a classical-looking orchestra. That's a very specific thing. If you do it in somebody's house, it's like, dude, we were watching the Super Bowl here last year. But I love house concerts precisely because they're extremely intimate. You get to talk with people. You get to meet people. I played the Utah Arts Festival last year, or the year – I can't remember which year it was. We're in a new year.
We are
in the new year.
2016.
Crap. I got to open for John McCutcheon, which was really a lot of fun.
He's one of my favorites from Winfield.
He was wonderful. He was really nice to me, and we sat and talked for a little bit. But that was something, because that was like, 4,000 or 5,000 people. And they were not there to see me. They were there to see John. So that's kind of the performer's purgatory of going out and saying, Hi, I'm not John McCutcheon. You have to sit through me for 20 minutes.
But I can play guitar and I have my own songs. Are you interested?
Yeah. And that's,
yeah, of course.
Everything has its advantages. And they're really wonderful things about playing for anybody. And I got to confess, that song, Lost Lover's Waltz, it may be slightly sexist of me to say, but I love to sing that song for old women. Because in our culture, we hide age away. And if you're not 25 and Kim Kardashian or whatever, it's not, But these little old ladies walking down the street, we class all a little old lady, big deal. Every one of them, I hope, in their history has a week or a summer or a year with someone where they look back and they go, yeah. And I said that to a house concert audience a couple months ago, and it was mostly older women, and they all went, yeah.
That was great.
You get some tears every once in a while flowing, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually have a show coming up in a couple months in the town where the young lady lives for whom I wrote that song with her husband and two kids. So I doubt she'll come to the show, but maybe.
The line in there that talks about Paris, I mean, I have such fond memories of going to Paris with my husband. And before we were married, we went to Paris, too. And
oh, I've never
just,
been.
Oh, you've never been.
I've never been to Paris. I've been to Germany and a bunch of other places, but I've never been to Paris.
And you put it into your song. You just knew.
I did put it into the song.
Yeah.
Yes.
And just such fond memories of being in the city of love. And, oh, it's just, it's gorgeous and it's special. And so I'm glad you put it into your song because it reminded me of some very good traveling times.
Well, we'll see. If we film a music video to that and if we do it back in Vancouver with the same company that we did the Queen of Elfland music video to, I've been talking with an actress who is actually in the new Star Trek film that's coming out this summer. And she's interested in doing, if we do the music video to Lost Lover's Waltz, she's interested in being in. So that'll be fun.
Saw previews to that when we went to see Star Wars.
Star Wars. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Saw previews to the new Star Trek movie.
So. Oh, I haven't seen them
yet. Yeah. Well, that was a really gorgeous song, but I'm sure you've got one to equal or top it.
Well, I tell you what. Why don't we play the Queen of Elfland? Let's do
excellent.
That off the CD.
Yes.
The Queen of Elfland.
Because you mentioned that the CD has, you know, more than just you with the guitar and vocals.
Right.
It has some others added.
And for the Queen of Elfland, because we filmed this music video to it, I'd been wanting to do these for a while to tell these stories through film, like I said. And the Queen of Elfland is this especially... I have a real strong emotional attachment to it because it's this – the traditional story is that the Queen of Elfland, the Queen of Faerie, comes to Thomas the Rhymer, who's a harper and a bard on the border of Scotland and England, and he's a bit of a bad boy. And she comes and takes him away to Elfland for 7 years. And for those 7 years, he can only speak to her. And when he finally returns to his home in Middle-earth, he has the gift of true speech. He can only tell the truth. So one of the things we talk about, this re-imaging of myth, is this reinvention of myth where we overlay it with our world. We know that if we map the planet, Faerie is not in some forest in the dark hills in Germany because we've satellite mapped the whole thing. So people like Neil Gaiman, who's a wonderful writer, and others have begun to superimpose the mythic world on our own. And so the Queen of Elfland in the music video – the queen comes and takes Thomas away, but it's not on a white horse. It's on the subway.
Yes.
And
modernized it.
Modernized,
yeah.
So that we can relate to it, because if we cannot relate to it in some sense, only geeks are going to be relating to myth or at least understand how it affects our choices. So anyway, we filmed this wonderful, wonderful music video in Vancouver with a lady, Natasha Quirk, who was on the Tudors television series and a couple other things. She's from Ireland, and she had us in stitches at 1 o'clock in the morning berating us on the proper way to make tea, which we I don't think any of us forgot. But because we're doing the music video, too, we had a violin player, mandolin, a couple other things, and we had this wonderful, wonderful Irish whistle player from Vancouver. So rather than me playing it solo on the 12-string, let's play a track off the CD, and then I'll come back and play a couple more.
And you can see this music video that you described on your website.
The music video is on the website. It's just linked to YouTube and Vimeo. I have it up on a couple of places. But absolutely. And then there's a special page on the website called The Queen of Elfland where we have a bunch of stills that we took during the filming with the cast and the crew. And the crew was amazing. We started filming Friday night when I got in on the train at 11 o'clock at night. And we didn't stop until Sunday about 6 o'clock in the afternoon.
And your website is craigvankirk.com. With K's, no C's.
Yes, that's right. It's about as creative as the Dave Matthews Band.
That's perfect that you got craigvankirk.com because,
man.
I mean, you know, it's just so easy. All right, so we are going to hear this off of your newest release. It is, I guess you could call it almost the title track.
It is. It begins with the night on the road and it ends... In Elfland.
Okay. from Crave Van Kirk's newest CD. This is the recorded version of The Queen of Elfland, and we'll be back with more live in the studio on Alaska Live with Crave Van Kirk.
I am the Queen of Elfland, Thomas, said the writing on the wall. Look for me on the A-train headed south when you thought you wouldn't find me at all. I've been watching you all your life, waiting for the day I would take you down under the hill. 7 years, 7 months, 7 days. So ride with me o'er the ferny brae, through the rivers of blood that run, on the road from the Eildon Hills. Sing for me at my bed and board, sing for me in the dawn, sing for me as the crowd rushes in and the loudspeaker says to get on. Sing for me by the sun and the moon, though neither one hang in the sky. Electric blue is the light underground as the time passes seamlessly by. Trade your songs for silence now, to the truth has your tongue been trained, till the winds and the seasons change. You are mine, you are mine, you are mine. Though you walk on the earth once again, it will be for a very short time. For when the sun finally sets in the west and you give your last breath to the sky, oh, into the sunlight and under the hill, Summer King, Summer King, Summer King, we will fly. Oh, into the sunlight and under the hill, Summer King, oh, Summer King, we will fly.
The track Queen of Elfland from Crave Van Kirk's newest CD, The Road to Elfland. And we heard that from your recorded version because it really does feature that gorgeous Irish whistle. And
yeah, her name is Amy Stevens down in Vancouver. She's just marvelous.
It's really nice. And this is your newest CD and it's the latest one, but it's not like you've had a succession of many CDs coming out lately. This is the first one in 20 years.
In 20 years, yes, absolutely.
So, yeah, and like we said earlier in the show, it's not that you haven't been recording music and putting music out. You've just chosen to not put out very many CDs in your lifetime, which is a choice that you've made for the environment, for the good of humanity.
That's a little grandiose, but why not?
Wait,
we can go with it.
Wait, for the environment at least.
At least.
Yeah. And so, but you can find this as a download or as a physical CD?
Right. If you want a physical CD, just find me. I'm because so much of last year was taken up with the recording and the mixing and everything. I'm way behind on all my booking of live shows, so the list isn't very long right now. But you can come find me live, or you can just drop me an email or PayPal or whatever, and I'll send you one. I actually have to put one in the mail tonight to a person here in Fairbanks.
They
emailed me a couple weeks ago, and I missed it, and I just found it this morning. Like, oh, crap, that's been sitting there for a couple of weeks.
Well, they're probably listening right now going, oh, good, that's me.
He's going to send it to me.
In the mail. Good.
Moron.
You said you're headed to Alberta. Calgary next. And then is it back to Juneau after that?
Then it'll be back to Juneau after that. Got to be at work bright and early Monday morning. And then I have February off. I've got a bunch of personal stuff going on in February. March, I'll be actually coming up again to go down the Kenai Peninsula for a couple of shows, and then out to Minneapolis, Minnesota. I got invited. Oh. I played a house concert out there a couple of years ago, and he emailed me a little while back and said, hey, would you come back? I said, sure, that'd be great. I'm going to be down in Los Angeles and the California coast in October. Everything in between is a little in limbo still, so I got to keep sending out the emails.
And you mentioned that you really do enjoy doing house concerts, and there's not a lot of requirements for house concert, are there? I mean,
how do you mean in terms of the space?
In terms of the space, you have to have enough to have 20, 30 people, right?
If that,
okay.
Yes. And the house concerts I've played have had a huge variety. Mm-hmm. Some of them are just, hey, we've got a living room. This is kind of like a good idea. Let's just see how it goes. Others, like the show I'm playing in Calgary on Saturday night, they have been doing it for years. They have a room that's dedicated to it. It has a wired sound system. They get some very big names that people you would not expect to play house concerts pass through there. And more and more as music develops, I mean, the big hits are still very, very big. You want to go see U2, well, you got, or Bruce Springsteen, you got to go to the big stadium.
And there's going to be a large sound system, and you are not going to be between you and, you know, the fireplace.
Exactly. That's exactly correct. But more and more as things become become more decentralized in the music world, you find people like Peppino D'Agostino, who's a wonderful, wonderful finger stylist. He plays house concerts all the time. He and I cross paths. I mean, I actually don't run into him because we're in different places at different times, but I play shows with him. Oh, Peppino was here a couple of weeks ago. He was great. Claude Bourbon, who's this incredible, one of the most amazing players I've ever seen. I think he's living in England now. He's originally out of Spain. The man never sleeps. He logs thousands of miles a year. His wife is his booking agent. But he's playing the same places that I am, and that guy can play rings around me. And that's what he does for a living full time. And so these house concerts, I love to see that they're becoming more and more popular.
And you don't have to have a sound system, right?
Most of the time I play without a sound
right.
system. It's great because then you just kind of hang out and talk with people and mm-hmm. they can, you know, you just hang out and be human.
Yeah. And be yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. What is next on the set list for
next
Alaska
on the
Live?
Set list? We'll shift gears a little bit.
We're not on our way to Elfland anymore.
Well, we are on the way to Elfland. We're still on the way to Elfland.
Okay, good.
And it's probably really the only way that any of us are going to get to Elfland is if all of us get there together, because I don't think we can leave anybody behind. Baby's gone sick and he won't stop crying. Mama trying to feed him, slowly dying. Smoke from the tires burning, rising high. Names in the river flowing past, tears in a bucket rising fast, faces washed away by a camera's eye. Oh my, hey, give to me your sorrow, I will give to you my freedom, and if you are sick and weary, let me carry you on my back. Look into tomorrow, it is filled with all our children,
So let us find the lost ones, and together we will carry them home. Coins on the eyes for them that's gone. Rain wash away all the blood that's drawn. Grass grow long on the stones in the greening fields. One more drink and the pain is gone. One more prayer than a fiery dawn. One more mother left to wonder why. Oh, why? Hey, give to me your sorrow. I will give to you my freedom. And if you are sick and weary, let me carry you on my back. Look into tomorrow. It is filled with all our children. So let us find the lost ones, and together we will carry them home. Lines in the sand from years gone by. Old men can't remember why. Tin roof shacks as far as the eye can see. Hide tomorrow by the smoke that's rising. Someone's burning, no denying. One more day like the only days we've ever known. I heard the stones cry out. I heard the stones, they cried out in the night. I heard the stones cry out. And they said, give to me your sorrow. I will give to you my freedom. And if you are sick and weary, let me carry you on my back. Look into tomorrow. It is filled with all our children. So let us find the lost ones, and together we will carry them home. Carry them home.
It's a nice song of hope, except I feel like it's one of those bluegrass songs that sound so happy, but when you listen to the words,
yeah.
Like, oh,
hey, wait a minute.
The babies are dying and there's coins on people's eyes, and that's what they used to do to the dead people.
Yep,
and oh,
to pay
my
the
goodness.
Fairy man.
Oh, so,
yeah. Yeah, that actually a lot of people have said that.
It's such a jaunty tune.
It is a jaunty little tune. Why? Oh. Yeah.
Some of the imagery in that one is, life and death. It's a cycle.
Yeah, it's like we said. I'm not sure that we've reached our civilization yet. What did Gandhi say? What do you think of Western civilization? I think it would be a good idea.
Yes.
That's what he said. But I think it probably applies to all of us. I find that governments and large nations and everybody, they just do awful things. It's individuals who do the wonderful things. It's human beings interacting with other human beings who do these fantastic, amazing, wonderful, extraordinary things that we're capable of.
And I think that goes back to your idea of sharing music in small settings, because mm-hmm. You can bring a community together, and it can be a really nice scene.
I think so. And don't get me wrong. I'd love to walk out on a stage with 5,000 people in a theater precisely because, like we were talking about, there's a different dynamic that happens there. And if you walk out on this dark stage with just your guitars there, there's an immense potential there to create a certain sort of space that maybe doesn't exist in house concerts, but I might be wrong. Maybe that's my own limitation as a performer, that a good performer, it's like a good carpenter, you give him a dull chisel and he can make anything. It's only the bad carpenters who can only work with the best tools.
Well, and even if there are 5,000 individuals in that audience, you know, they all have their conversations and their experiences.
And you have to meet each one of them individually. It's an individual experience.
And but they, you know, get to share that with each other after, before the show or during intermission. And so, it brings people together for sure. Well, I'd love to hear another song.
Okay. We'll go back. I think... I don't know if this is the oldest song that I've ever written or The Captain and the Lady was the oldest one. I can't remember.
Oh, well, how old were you when you wrote this song? Or The Captain and Lady or this one?
Oh, this. I remember I wrote both of these. I grew up in Northern California. My dad was a professor of fisheries at Humboldt State University. And we lived in this old house that was built in 1914, an old redwood, you know, house. And for some reason, when we moved in, there was this old wooden shed in the back with all this old furniture. So we had this old horsehair couch on the front porch. And that's where I used to go and sit and play and everything. And I remember writing this and The Captain and the Lady. I'm going to guess it was like 1989. I had just quit graduate school first time around. I was in seminary in Berkeley, and I had just quit. And so I was thinking, I'm going to go be a musician. So instead of moving to Nashville or Los Angeles, I moved to Jackson, Wyoming, which probably was indicative that I had a screw loose somewhere.
Follow your dreams, no matter where they take you.
I just wanted to go fly fishing.
I am a wandering traveler, my journeys they are long. I read the stories of this life in music and in song. And sometimes out upon the road and sometimes in the sky, I look before what I will find to see if I can try to find the footsteps of the one who's maybe gone before, or maybe follows now behind in wisdom and in lore. And someday maybe we will meet on a sunny day, strangers with familiar brands walking in the way. Hey lady, won't you walk with me down along the river to a cold dark sea? Between the cradle and my grave are years that won't be saved. So lady, won't you walk with me? Now some will dance on wings of gold and others take a fall. Some get by on feet of clay, some don't dance at all. The turning of the spinning ones in the circle of the moon all wind the seasons round again and they play a piper's tune. And upwards from the sea they come, answering the call, life upon its final run, beginning of us all. Hey lady, won't you walk with me down along the river to a cold dark sea? Between the cradle and my grave are years that won't be saved. So lady, won't you walk with me? Wandering traveler, my journeys they are long, and I read the stories of this life in music and in song. And here I've come to sing for you of what is gone before, or maybe follows now behind in wisdom and in lore. And so now for the time we have, think upon the day when as strangers with familiar brands we'll meet along the way. Hey lady, won't you walk with me down along the river to a wine dark sea? Between the cradle and my graver years that won't be saved. So lady, won't you walk with me?
Kind of amazing that you say that that was one of the first songs you wrote. It's pretty intricate, and for a debut of songwriting,
that one actually surprised me. I did the first time I ever played a show when I started playing again and getting back on the road after Olivia was old enough, I went to a show, I think it was in Bellingham, Washington, and I played, and there were a couple people in the front row singing. And my first response was, you don't know the words to this. How do you? But they knew this. I don't know. You know, they must have had an old copy of an old CD or something. But it was
cassette tape.
It was actually that was from the second CD, which was called Contrary Visions, and that actually had a CD along with the tape. And I was cleaning out the house a couple months ago, and I found some of the old tapes, and I showed it to my daughter, and she was like, "Yeah, I know what that is."
Yeah.
Damn it. I can't even be old modern.
Well, albums are coming back. Did you ever put out any vinyl?
No, I never put out vinyl, but they have such wonderful cover art.
Mm-hmm.
And vinyl is really cool. And the more you try to think about, you know, how do we make a living as musicians in this new environment? And one person I really admire for just like, no parachute, no nothing, just jumping is Amanda Palmer. And she's married to Neil Gaiman, and she's had a lot of controversy around what she's done. But I love Amanda just because she's like, let's just do it. And she just goes. And so she has experimented with all these different forms of, you know, how do you be practical and monetize something that ultimately is not about making money at all? But it has to be if we're going to be practical. But she does vinyl, and every now and then I run across, you know, new vinyl in the stores, and the return of the album art is really nice.
It's
you remember the 60s
so
and
cool.
70s with.
Well, there's so much canvas there. That's
it's
what's
huge.
So neat, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, your album art comes up on your phone or your digital player
iTunes
or
whatever.
Yeah, and it's so tiny, and it just doesn't have that feel.
No, and to a lot of that, where it shows up on your digital music player, that has had a huge influence on totally simplifying album art. Because you want it to be able to translate to that little tiny icon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you tuning up for your finale here, Craig and Kurt?
I will tune up for my finale.
Okay.
One of my absolute favorite writers was Ray Bradbury. I loved Ray Bradbury. And I have an autographed painting of him. Friend of a friend was at a book reading that he did, a signing. And she painted him, and he signed it.
Cool.
He has a 1959 collection of stories called The Machineries of Joy. And the title story, The Machineries of Joy, is about a bunch of priests sitting around discussing a papal encyclical on space travel, and which actually doesn't exist. But anyway, at one point, actually, if you turn over the album, on the back of the CD, you can read. I don't think I can remember it. You want to grab that? Next to you there?
Yes,
I don't know if I can reach it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll read off of here. You've got a quote from Ray Bradbury album, of course.
One of the priests gets up and he says, somewhere did not the poet William Blake write of the machineries of joy? And then the quote finishes.
And thus happily sent forth at our best with good grace and fine wit on calm noons and in far climes, are we not God's machineries of joy?
In fine wit and in fair climes, are we not God's machineries of joy?
That's a quote from Ray Bradbury that you were just talking about. And that's what you included. That's the quote you included on your latest, The Road to Elfman.
Well, I'm not much for drinking whiskey, and I surely don't like wine. And I'm not much for beer on Saturday nights, Oh, I can drink you down just fine. And I'm not much for fancy houses or expensive cars to drive. Sometimes they're fun to play with, but they don't keep you alive. And we are born for summer mornings, running golden through the day. A night wind blows through winter's grass, we regret and fade away. Give us gods, give them us, oh, let our love be not destroyed. Rise and fall, years and all, the machineries of joy. There are no words for what we do here, we love our children anyway. My daughter has my walking shoes to help her find her way. And if God in pregnant silence hides, our questions tumble to the ground. We can't protect our children from this pain, so we seek to strike it down. Give us gods, give them us, oh, let our love be not destroyed. Rise and fall, years and all, the machineries of joy. Came from brilliance, I return there. I think there's irony in this. Come sit beside me now, hold my hand, and give to me a lover's kiss. And this alone shall be my reason to write my meaning in the sand. Spend our time beneath our summer sun, spilling sunlight from our hands. And so I love you like fine chocolate, especially the dark kind. And like the waters from the river, oh, I can drink you down just fine. Give us gods, oh, give them us, and let our love be not destroyed. Through rise and fall, through years and all, oh, these are the machineries of joy, and these are the machineries of joy.
What a nice way to close out Alaska Live. Gorgeous song, Cray.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a long time since I've been here, and it's always wonderful to come up and see you.
Thanks for making the journey all the
of
way
course.
North to Fairbanks. And Cray Van Kirk, it's been a pleasure to have you here for Alaska Live.
Thank you so much. I'd love to come back sometime.
You bet. I'm your host for KUAC's Alaska Live. I'm Lori Neufeld. Have a great night. Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, strengthening the community through support of the arts.